love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two now officially underway on the early line. Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Dub Anderson. It's Donnie Wrightside. And now, look, this is the reason why we have this man on this network right now, because we always need some help on the PGA Tour and with golf. And this is the guy that we want to talk to here. So, Dubs, before we get into the FedEx Championship here, before we get into who can actually win this, the St. Jude numbers, how are we feeling about the actual tournament itself heading into this? Because Rory McIlroy was asked a question yesterday. How do you feel about this whole new odds and the point structure? He goes, I love it. Otherwise, nobody's catching Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, and it makes it a lot easier to sort of make inroads up there for the leader. We've got 2,000 FedEx Cup points on the line traditionally week in, week out for the regular season. There's just 700 points. So why does it look a little differently this week? Well, it is the playoffs. We've got three playoff events. It's the FedEx St. Jude, 70 players, no cut. We go to 50 players next week for the BMW, and then we finish with the season finale, 30 players vying off at the Tour Championship. So I'm excited. Playoff golf, it looks a little differently, Donnie. Obviously, we're not a full field. We've got a shorter selection there on the wagering side of things, but it looks to be a very competitive edition for this one. You know, Scottie Scheffler, what a year he's put together. Rory McIlroy, you've highlighted, he's had a couple of close calls. It was another bad beat in the US Open. And don't sleep on Xander Schauffele, who's had two majors. He's had two majors this year. Talk about a breakout year for the X-Man. So there's a lot of money on the line, but they're also playing for that prestige of player of the year. And it certainly looks to be between your world number one in Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, who's now playing with confidence. He's playing with house money. The knock against Xander was always that he couldn't get it done late on Sunday in the big ones. Well, when you've got two majors, that silenced the critics pretty quick.
If we're looking at the tournament itself, and again, as you said, it's a series of tournaments here. Number one, Dubs, how many tournaments are they playing, and how do you actually advance into the next round of these tournaments?
You've got to finish inside the top 50. So it's only the top 70 players for the regular season playing this week for the FedEx St. Jude. We'll go down to 50 players, 50 top players in the standings going into the BMW next week. And then we cut it down to 30 for that third and final event at the Tour Championship. But there's no cuts because we've got smaller fields. So for the golfers who maybe got off to a sluggish start there yesterday, day one at a TPC Southwind, they're going to have every chance to try and make in inroads, but this is a very tough golf course. I know we saw some low scores out there yesterday, but I do think the golf course will show a bit of bite back as we go in to the weekend there. So for a lot of these players on the betting side of thing, you're trying to look for players that are probably playing with a little less pressure. The guys hovering right around at that 50 spot, they're going to play a lot more aggressive and go after it just so they can try and secure that advancement to next week for the BMW. But with that risk reward, it also brings in a bit of danger. So you'll see this leaderboard and this odds board tell us the tale of the tape here. I do think we see a chase's pack, and then we could see a big disparity before we get to some of the also rans coming in for this one. As you can see, Scottie Scheffler up top there at plus 250, followed by Xander Schauffele plus 550, and Hideki Matsuyama, who just went through a recent robbery and he travels back out here to the States. He sits there as the third choice at plus 750. So it really is the best of the best from the PGA Tour vying off there, as we saw on day one.
Dubs, you out there on the West Coast, it's in the 6 o'clock hour. Here on the East Coast, it's the 9 o'clock hour. They're already out there on the golf course, and some guys doing some damage. Denny McCarthy opens up his first hole and birdies that, going to a minus 5 under. But if you looked at yesterday's round, it was Chris Kirk, a 6 under 64 yesterday. Was that a surprise that Kirk was the leader after round number one? And also, Dubs, for the people that don't know Chris Kirk, tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, absolute journeyman of the PGA Tour. He's just a proper ball striker. He really doesn't hit it a long way. And if you look at the past winners at this tournament, at this golf course, it really has been a mixed bag. You know, we turn it back to Lucas Glover last year, but then it was the big hitting Willie Zalatoris the year before that. So you can do it two ways here. It's a par 70, 7,200 yards and some change. But for Chris Kirk, he's had success on the PGA Tour. I would say it's been a very consistent year for Kirk. But hey, he had a hole-in-one out there yesterday afternoon. I believe it was on the 14th. This is one of the longest par threes we could get to, Donnie. We'd probably need the big stick, maybe even the three diesel for us just to get it onto the dance floor. But Chris Kirk posting around 1-6 under par. He still sits there at 22-1, plus 2,200. He's never going to go up in flames. He's just a plotter of the golf ball. So Chris Kirk will absolutely be in the mix on Sunday afternoon. Does he have that top gear to fend off the likes of a Scottie Scheffler, of a Xander Schauffele? I would say no. I think the pedigree in the class will prevail as we move through the four rounds of golf. You highlighted players to watch already early here for round two. Denny McCarthy opening up with that birdie. He moves it to 5 under par. So he's just one shot back. You'd still find him at plus 2,800. And then a couple of big names to follow. Matsuyama, he carded a 5 under par there through day one. You've got the likes of Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Scottie Scheffler and the X-Men. They're both sitting just two shots back at 4 under par. And for a lot of these other names, Donnie, you know, they're going to take themselves out of the tournament. Once they look around this leaderboard and see how much money is on the line, all these FedEx Cup points, and you've got the best golfers in the world trying to mow you down through Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, the swing gets a little quicker. The nerves start to escalate a little. And that's why the best of the best are number one, number two in the world of golf. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, they know how to simplify their surroundings. And I have no doubt that we see another big name prevailing late on Sunday here for the FedEx St. Jude.
Talking about getting hot out here in round number two, Victor Hovland through three holes. He's already 2 under, moving himself close to that top 20 tie. But the two guys we always want to talk about here, the two sharks here, Dubsy, on that leaderboard, where if you ask people, you get multiple answers. Who is the golfer of the year? Who had the better season? Two guys yesterday shot 66. That's Scheffler and that's Schauffele. If we're putting them head-to-head in this tournament, what did you see yesterday that you liked? And also, heading down the stretch, who would get the nod for you? And does it come down to who finishes ahead here in the FedEx Cup?
Yeah, I think it will. Xander Schauffele with the two majors, that's probably going to outrank Scottie Scheffler's 6 wins. But Donnie, if you said, Dubs, you've got a single unit, you've got get one goal for home late on Sunday, I'd have to go with Scottie Scheffler because he just continues to do it week in, week out. 6 wins for the tour this season. I mean, I believe I was on with you, Donnie, the day that Scottie came out of lockup in the orange jumpsuit. And I said the very best bet of the season was fading Scottie Scheffler. We could get him in a round one, in a round two matchup against John Rahm. He made me look silly. He's made me look stupid week in, week out. On the betting side of things, there's not a lot of value behind Scottie Scheffler. But right now, he is the very best in the world of golf. He's intimidating by doing it so understated in a quiet fashion. And for Xander Schauffele, the game is absolutely there. But at what point is he going to start to get tired? What time, you know, is Stammer going to be playing an ultimate test there? So if you had to split the two, Scottie Scheffler. The only knock that we get from Scottie is to see if he's going to figure out a golf course that he really hasn't had great course history on here at TPC Southwind. 4 under yesterday, 2 back off your leader, Chris Kirk, and you can still get him right around plus 300. That tells me everything I need to see.
If we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and take a look at the top 4 golfers odds-wise, it's Scottie Scheffler at a live 260 price. It's Xander Schauffele at a plus 550. Matsuyama here at a 8-1 price and McIlroy at a 12-1. If we leave those four out of the equation, are there some longer shots that you're looking forward to this weekend and say, you know what? If they put it together, they can take down a nice price here.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on Sam Burns there. Sam Burns hits it a country mile. He posted a 3 under par. You can still get him there on the board at 35-1, plus 3,500. For Sam Burns, very good friends with Scottie Scheffler. Not that that helps us on the betting side of things. But the next step for the likes of Sammy Burns is to have success at the majors, to have success here in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And you look at his golf game, he hits a mile off the tee there, but he's scrambling and getting it up and down out of the ball wash. I think that will pay dividends, and he wants that smoke. Not every golfer is going to welcome the situation of trying to buy off of the FedEx St. Jude late on Sunday afternoon. Sam Burns is built for the big stage. I like his golf game on a big ballpark like this one. He's just three shots back, and we're getting him at a monster, monster price. That is not a guy you want hovering over your shoulder come Sunday afternoon.
55-1 price right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's Victor Hovland. Just got another birdie. He's tied for 12. The action is hot in Memphis. You know where else it's going to be hot? On the football field this weekend. Let's preview a little preseason football action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've said it many times already this morning on the early line. It is a football Friday, a true football Friday. Why? We're going to talk football right now. Not American football, football known around the world. Times are changing here in the U.S., at least the changing of the guard for who's going to lead the U.S. national men's team. And that is going to be Mauricio Pochettino. So we do have a chance. It was Berhalter before who, I don't know who liked him at all. I never ran into anybody or talked soccer with anybody. Because you know what? That head coach here for the U.S., here, the manager, he's a real good one. Now it's a changing of the guard. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but you know what? Change was needed here, Dubs. What are your thoughts on the changing of the guard? Could we actually be a contender coming up sooner than later on the World Cup stage?
The road to 2026 just got a lot more exciting. Mauricio Pochettino. And look, this is what Team USA absolutely needed. This is a gaffer, head coach, a manager that's going to warrant a lot of respect in the locker room. And for Greg Berhalter and Team USA, that has been the thing that has been missing. There's been a lot of smoke about the players not seeing eye to eye with Greg. There's been a couple of well-documented riffs off the pitch there. So for Team USA, they had to make the change. They had to make the decision. And I'm glad they went after to a name with a bit of firepower. It comes across there from Chelsea. Had a lot of success at the tail end of the season there for Pochettino in Chelsea. Didn't agree with eye to eye with some of the upper level there of management, but he will bring a very unique style. It's an old school style of playing football where they can roll up the sleeves and get it done. This is absolutely what the American national side needed, because this is the time. This is the window where we're going to see American soccer really thrive, the next World Cup being right here in North America. And the firepower, the young players, I mean, this is the best bunch that Team USA has ever seen. This crop is really talented. Could they win the World Cup, Donnie? I don't know. That'd be a massive step, but they could absolutely make a push towards the quarterfinals and the semifinals coming off Copa America from what we saw recently. That was another disappointment. And for me, it was glaring. All things pointing towards the head coach had to change. And now we've got some real star power.
It's one thing, Dubs, when you get embarrassed. It's another thing when you get embarrassed on your home soil. Times are going to change and Berhalter's out. We'll see if this can change, because you're right. 2 years away, the World Cup taking place on North American soil. You want to put your best foot forward. It looks like the U.S. men's national team will be certainly doing that with their new manager hire. We'll see how that works out here, but let's get back to the American pitch, if you will. We got a chock full day on Saturday of games here for preseason action in the NFL. It feels like a college football Saturday, Dubs. You got games starting at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock at night. You can sit back and watch. And if there was 1 week to watch preseason football, Dubs, it's week number 2. Most teams will be playing starters at least through the first quarter and maybe up to the first half. We previewed a few of those guys, like Patrick Mahomes getting some run here and some other quarterbacks around the NFL. But on a Saturday, that's week number 2. How much do you pay attention to these games here, Dub, to try to get yourself ready for that action that's going to begin in early September?
Yeah, absolutely. And for some of the younger squads, you know, especially like the Falcons taking on the Ravens there early Saturday, we're likely going to see the likes of Michael Penix in the mix there. I think it's fantastic. Am I going to really go after it on the wagering side of things? No, I'm going to approach with absolute caution for preseason 2. But it's a great measure to see where some of these rosters are really at, the kind of depth that they may need to make that postseason push there. But in terms of jumping in, you can see all these lines really close. The biggest one we got there is a touchdown for the Raiders lane at home, and they've got quite the quarterback battle there as well. So I think we see some great matchups. We highlighted earlier on the show, Patrick Mahomes is expected to get a lot of reps in that first half for the Chiefs taking on the Lions. So for a couple of young guys, interested to see how they get their shot because everything is on the line. It's not so much about the superstars, it's the young guys vying for those roster spots before we actually hit week one in the regular season. So fantastic. Football is back. It's not college football this Saturday. It's NFL preseason week two, Donnie.
Yeah, a lot of kids that are actually just got out of college will be playing this Saturday, trying to make their, you know, name known here and make a football team. Let me ask you this question, because sometimes things come up that were a little bit abnormal. The Ravens felt like they hadn't lost a preseason game since 1999. I mean, 20-plus games in a row. They lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. They take on the Falcons this weekend. They're at home as a slight favorite, -1.5. Is Harbaugh down there telling his team, look, another streak begins here, and do you bet the Ravens because they lost last week? They're not used to losing. Is that an angle that we can play in the preseason, Dubsy?
What was the record for John Harbaugh? He went 24 straight preseason wins, and now they've dropped three. What happened to Jones? He's still on holidays there. Look, I think it's going to be a fantastic one. Obviously, Kirk Cousins won't get the nod there for the Falcons, but we're getting the mail that Michael Penix is expected to see a lot of reps. So excited to see what he brings to that offense for the Ravens. They'll get Josh Johnson, who's most likely, you know, a bit of a journeyman. We've seen a fair bit there around the league as a bit of a backup. But for the Ravens, yes, they're going to get back to those winning ways. But I do feel like the Falcons, and they've brought over a couple of big signings this week there. Justin Simmons joins the crew there. There's got to be a great buzz, a great energy in the building right now, Donnie. So this is a young team, a young squad with some great positional players. All things pointing towards another big performance. So maybe it's the Falcons going to put another preseason loss towards John Harbaugh and make it 4 straight.
You know what's interesting, too, about this, a couple of these games? The Vikings at the Browns. You might look at that like, it's preseason. But the fact that you lost J.J. McCarthy for the season here for the Minnesota Vikings, I'm interested to see if Sam Darnold plays and how long he does. Because I know, and it's just human nature at this point, you get a little shell-shocked. If you watch one of your players go down, you say, I can't afford to have another quarterback go down. But also, Sam Darnold does need to play a little bit. New scheme, new system, now installed as the starter. I wonder how they treat that football game so something to watch there. But it is a notable weekend across the board. We're going to check into some of these rookies that we'll be playing in a little bit. But if I made you right now, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, are you playing Sam Darnold this weekend? Or are you scared because you already lost J.J. McCarthy?
I'm scared, Donnie. Yeah, I'm scared. I'm looking after Sammy Darnold. I tell you what, for Sam Darnold, this is the opportunity that my guy has been waiting for. Jets, Panthers, 49ers. He's finally got the weapons where maybe he's got a chance to succeed. And you look on the other side of the ball there for the Browns, Deshaun Watson not expected to play, but they've got a great backup there, famous Jameis Winston. He's likely going to get the reps. Mm-hmm. So if the Vikings decide to show up and be a little cautious, the Browns lay in three with Jameis Winston still trying to show that he's got, you know, the starter ability. Watch out for the Browns there. Maybe that's a number we can cover just sitting right around a field goal.
Yeah, we always like those instances where the quarterbacks need to play. The Steelers are a 5.5-point favorite because Russ does want to have a good start. More NFL football next on a Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go streaking, people. In the preseason, are you kidding me? You know, we usually only play 3 games now, but 2 teams in the NFL get to play 4 games in the preseason because of the Hall of Fame game. That is the Chicago Bears. Won their first 2 games. Matt Eberflus, the needle pointing up here as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals in game number 3. Now, I always take a look at these odds, as you're seeing on the screen right now. The FanDuel Sportsbook, a touchdown favorite here for the Chicago Bears, a total that's listed at 36.5. Before we take a quick preview of what I think about this game, how do you feel, Dubs, laying close to a tutty here in preseason action? Do you just take the points at that point?
Nah, I can't, Donnie. I mean, that's far too much. Smoking. The odds makers tell us it's going to be a low score of 36.5, and you still want me to lay a touchdown here for the Bears with a couple of question marks of who we're really going to see out there in the mix. -280. Is the juice worth the squeeze? I would say absolutely pass. Advance. Moving on to the next one. But this is going to be the trendiest team in the offseason. Caleb Williams, he looked fantastic there last week for the Bengals. Joey Burrow, he's back to full health. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, still yet to get that signature, still yet to get that contract that he's been waiting for. But this is what we saw last year. It was Joe Burrow's contract talks going right into week one. So we've seen the market reset there. So the Bengals taking on the Bears. Could I lay the Bears at close to a touchdown? Absolutely not for week two in the preseason, Donnie.
Yeah, third dress rehearsal here. Maybe we're looking at some of those starters here. And those numbers typically indicate whose team is going to play starters and who cares about that game. Let me ask you two questions about the Bengals quickly. Joe Burrow last year, devastating injury to his throwing wrist. Rehabs it all offseason, got the surgery. He says he's going to be okay. Secondary, Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best wide receivers in football, wants a new payday, doesn't look like he's going to get that. We always talk about those, like, the vibes need to be high entering into the season. You're good players, you're great players, you always want to take care of them. Are there any issues inside the locker room for you on the Bengals, not only heading into this preseason game, but certainly early in the weeks here in September?
Now, I don't have boots on the ground, Donnie, but for me, I don't like what I've seen going through the offseason. It's great to have Joe Burrow back at full health. He's a top five quarterback in the league. Absolutely. There's no Joe Mixon. Now Zach Moss comes in at running back. They've lost Tyler Boyd. Mike Gesicki comes in at tight end. But for Ja'Marr Chase, in looking to try and get paid, Justin Jefferson's deal got done there for $35 million per year. So obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, he wants the same number, even going to try and reset the market there again. This is not what you want to see. You want to get every player buying in, especially the star power. You've got Joe Burrow happy, but he needs a couple of fantastic wide receivers to be thrown to, and they've got to want that skin in the game. For Ja'Marr Chase, they've got to get this deal sorted prior to week one so everything looks fine for Who Dey Nation. So, yeah, a little cause for concern, Donnie. Absolutely.
No, no doubt about it. You want to have those guys worried about the football field, not the off the football field stuff like getting a paycheck here. If we move it forward to the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Indianapolis Colts, that game is going to be Saturday night at 7 p.m. in Indy. A -2.5-point favorite here for the Colts and a total of 36.5. Maybe more of a preview here for Anthony Richardson. Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Colts. I'm very high on him coming from that Eagles ilk. Provided that spark last year, even without Richardson. How do we feel this year about Anthony Richardson? Does he step in and be that franchise guy right away, or is the jury for you still going to be out on him, Dubs?
No, I'm big on Anthony Richardson. We obviously didn't get to see enough there last year, but again, just being in the building, getting to learn the pro scheme, a bit more maturity, you can see that the arm strength is absolutely there. He's been fantastic with those wheels, trying to get out of the pocket as we get set for preseason week two. So I like what I've seen from the Colts. I think they've got a fantastic play caller. And for the Cardinals, I mean, a couple of question marks there. For Kyler Murray, he's certainly got a couple of great additions through the offseason there. So -135 for the Colts. Very interested to see in this game. You asked us at the top of the segment, Donnie, what will I take from preseason week two? This is a game that I'll absolutely be locked in on, where there are a couple of question marks behind a couple of young quarterbacks who absolutely have that top side. But coming back after significant injuries, still time will tell.
Yeah, you know what's going to be fascinating, too, is sometimes you like what happened last season. Let's just say if the Arizona Cardinals wrote that entire season off when Kyler Murray went down. They didn't. Now, granted, they didn't have a good season, but he came back into play. Getting a couple games under your belt as almost part of your rehab process, Dubs, I think was pretty key heading into that offseason. Jonathan Gannon's second year getting that team, you know what? They're used to my off seasons now. They're used to the way we work things. It's the second straight year we're going to have the same defense, offensive mentalities here. Let's see if we can move forward. So I do think maybe they have a better season this year. They got a couple talented players on their team, which includes one of those rookies, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, those rookie of the year honors. Could a wide receiver take it over a quarterback? But Arizona's sort of up in the air out there in the West. You're certainly going to have the San Francisco 49ers, the Rams, who are probably a better team, along with the Seahawks. We'll see if the Arizona Cardinals find their footing in 2024. The rookies, who takes the hardware home as the best of the year? Come find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right out of the gates we go, and that is the National Football League set to get underway early September, Thursday night football. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens, and away we go, which means we got to talk some hardware here for us, Dubs. Who is going to be that offensive rookie of the year? Typically, it's a quarterback award, and no stranger here on the FanDuel Sportsbook to take a look at that awards market. Caleb Williams at a plus 135 price. Jaden Daniels at a plus 550 price. We're expecting big things out of those quarterbacks this year. Rookies coming in, a lot of good offensive weapons that they can deal with. Good seasons should be on the horizon. Then we get to the wide receivers. Harrison out there, plus 750 price, following in his father's footsteps, being one of those more dominant wide receivers. You take a look at Neighbors for the New York Giants at a 10-1 price. Worthy at a 14-1 price. Let me ask you this. Is it possible that a non-quarterback is going to be able to win this award in 2024, Dubs?
I think it's tough, Donnie, and we got so much recency bias. You know, we saw CJ Stroud as an absolute standout last year. If you look at this odds board, it tells us the award's already been handed to Caleb Williams at plus 135. Yep. So no one's surprised that he was the first pick off the board for Chicago in that offense. They look strong through week one of the preseason. He's got all the tools in place. The only question marks I had, Donnie, were coming in to the pro scheme. You know, how would he really adapt at that level? Wasn't fantastic last year there for USC. I know we turn it back to the Heisman there in 2022, and what a record he put together there for the Trojans. But I mean, this is, I guess, the buy low spot. I can absolutely not jump into play a futures market for Caleb Williams at plus 135. You've always got to ask the question about injury. What if the Bears don't figure it out? What if there are a couple of issues in that locker room? By all reports, Caleb is the guy. He's telling them to pick up the towels, put them in the washing machine. I don't know. Maybe some of the older guys don't get on the same page there. Big expectations for Jaden Daniels at plus 550. If there were a player in going against the quarterbacks, I think it is Marvin Harrison Jr. We highlighted going towards the Cardinals there. He's got Kyler Murray. I'm very big on Kyler Murray there for Arizona. You take a look, he's got that pass catching, he's got the route running abilities. He's built at 6'4". So this is a kid that can absolutely have an impact day one. He's going to have to put up some monster numbers, likely going to have to be top 10 in the league there in receiving yards, but you're still getting a fantastic price. So I think that would be the play against for me if you weren't buying in at plus 135 on Caleb.
Yeah, boy, we got spoiled last year, Dubs. You take a look at a guy like C.J. Stroud comes into a team that we didn't expect a lot from last year. The Houston Texans is absolutely phenomenal. He sets that bar here for Williams and Daniels here entering into 2024. A fun market. We'll see how some of these young kids perform early on in their NFL careers. But let's get to a game on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at this number here, Dubs. -7, a full touchdown favorite for Kansas City in a total of 38.5. It's a high number there. It's a high number on the total at 38.5. Why? Well, Andy Reid comes in and says, you know what? Patrick Mahomes in that offense, we might let it rip for an entire first half. That's going to change numbers, but it does catch your eye here, Dubsy. Is it worthy to lay 7 points in this game, in your opinion, versus the Lions?
You've got my attention, Donnie, but again, a full touchdown. Mm-hmm. We know for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, likely not going to play their starters in week three. So we'll see Patrick Mahomes, a couple of the superstars out there in the mix for the first half. For Patty Mahomes, he's going to have that offense absolutely humming. They're probably going to have to go up by 14 or so to cover that one going into the second half there. For the Detroit Lions, a couple of question marks. Not expected to see a lot of their starters. And for the Chiefs, I guess Hollywood Brown, that was the big injury coming across there in week one for the Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs now dealing with that hamstring injury as well. So close to 7. I think the Chiefs will absolutely get it rolling there in the first half. And maybe that's the way I'd look to play it. Bank on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in that first half. And the game total, late in this one, in the fourth, anything can happen. But at minus 320 for a preseason game, Andy Reid's going to have them fired up.
If you look at the Chiefs' outlook here in 2024, I think it's Super Bowl or bust once again because you've got Patrick Mahomes, you got Andy Reid. They're used to getting the Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I felt like I needed a couple packs of cigarettes watching the Chiefs play down the stretch last year saying, how is this possible they're beating these football teams? This is the least talented Chiefs offense we're supposed to have known over the past 4 to 5 years, and they still, Dubs, won the Super Bowls. Let's look at those odds to win the AFC West, a -230 price, to win the AFC title, a +350 price, to win the Super Bowl, a 6-1 price. Are we buying into another Super Bowl championship, which will make it 3 in a row for the Chiefs here, Dubsy?
Donnie, if I said no, you'd say, Dubsy, you've been on the good stuff early on a Friday. But I can't. I think they avoided a lot of misfires there going through the regular season last year. I mean, they couldn't score in the second half. Spags is still one of the best minds in the game. The defensive side got him out of a lot of trouble. And then the other two key names, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Whenever you got these two calling shots, yes, they're going to be a factor late in the season, but they've just got to make it towards the playoffs there. So, yes, the class, the experience, does it get easier in search of a third consecutive Lombardi? I don't think so. Every team is going to be playing their Super Bowl when they take on the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll see that opening night coming up on the 5th of September. But I do think there are a couple of concerns. You know, the drop balls, that was a real thing last year. Which weapons is Patty Mahomes really going to have? Hollywood Brown, is he going to be back for full fitness to start this year? Travis Kelce, fantastic catcher of the ball. What's he really going to put through another season? I mean, he is copping big body shot after big body shot. So for Patty Mahomes, he is going to have to be every bit of that superstar that we have seen through the last couple of years to make up for a couple of deficiencies that I see with that offense. So in terms of how do we play him on the betting side of things, plus 600, it's Super Bowl or nothing, Donnie. That's it. It's the only way to jump in.
I'm telling you, even as a handicapper, dyed in the wool, I see it year to year. You're trying to take a look at this version of a team as opposed to what they did in the past. But last year was the year to get the Kansas City Chiefs, and nobody could get them. They're more talented this year than they were last year. Now, granted, you still have to perform. There are going to be injuries that happen. I get that. But that was such an unbelievable playoff performance by the Chiefs. It's hard to not believe they're not going to be competitive, meaning competitive, getting to another Super Bowl with a legitimate chance to win it. And Patrick Mahomes obviously is the linchpin. Andy Reid is an unbelievable head coach / offensive coordinator. If we look at some of the season-long props here for Patrick Mahomes, touchdowns, 32.5 to be yardage-wise, 4,225.5 yards. The touchdown leader, plus 550, and the yardage leader at a 7-1 price. I don't know how you – the one thing, passing touchdowns, is anybody going to take the under on a Patrick Mahomes number? It's really hard to do outside of injury. He's probably going to eclipse that. How are we feeling about Patrick Mahomes? Another season, another chance at an MVP here, Dubs.
Yeah, he's going to be right in the conversation, and you've got to correlate all these bad times. If you think the Chiefs can go on to win it all, it is going to be largely in part thanks to Patrick Mahomes. Look at the numbers that he put up last year. He's only getting better. I don't think we put enough credit towards how good Patrick Mahomes really is, the poise that he shows when everything's up against him there. So for MVP at plus 500, I don't mind that. Offensive player of the year there at 50-1. But yes, I would be playing overs on his passing yards and absolutely overs on those passing touchdowns as well. Because you look at the run game, it's solid for the Chiefs. With Patty Mahomes, he will be dissected in that red zone.
I mean, you just expect it. It's 3rd and 7. What do you say? Oh, forget about the punter. We're going to convert this first down. Oh, look, the Chiefs are down with 15 seconds to go, basically, in a playoff game, and they need to score. Yeah, Patty Mahomes will handle that as well. He's absolutely fantastic. So nothing short of greatness is what we expect. But if we do look at that MVP market and look at some of the guys that might be able to chase down Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen at an 8-1 price. It's C.J. Stroud at a 10-1 price, along with Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Jordan Love. They're all quarterbacks here. If I had to give you one quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes, who's chasing him down as a legitimate chance for the MVP, Dubs?
It's going to be Josh Allen. You know, no Stephon Diggs. A couple of question marks there for the Bills. If Josh Allen can have a similar trajectory for Buffalo and trying to make them get through the playoffs there, I think it's going to have to be off the back of a fantastic individual season there for Josh. He's one of the best athletes in the game. I consider him to be a top five quarterback, and obviously the odds makers have him as a very sure choice of taking out the MVP title there. So if you're looking to play against Patty Mahomes, Josh Allen certainly worthy of a bit of a sprinkle.
Oh, man, just getting excited for the NFL regular season. It's right around the corner, but there is more preseason games on Saturday we're going to have to talk about. We'll do that next, right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football is meant to be played on Sundays, people. We got a full slate here on a Saturday card that we just talked about, the Brewer, a doubleheader, Sunday night football to get ready for. Let's talk about it. The Mile High matchup. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos. Look at this number here again. A 7-point favorite for the home team. That's the Denver Broncos and a total of 39.5. Now, we understand if this was a regular season game, Dubsy, that line ain't -7 for the Denver Broncos, which leads you to believe there is a quarterback battle that we still have to determine who's going to win that spot here for the Denver Broncos. How much are we going to see out of Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers in this game? So let's start there. These two teams, different maybe expectations. Let's see what we can do with the Denver Broncos, but we expect the Green Bay Packers to be a solid playoff contender here in 2024. But if I ask you a question, starting young quarterbacks like Bo Nix, we saw the early looks from Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos say, you know what? We're going to put Bo Nix third on the depth chart. He looked pretty good in his preseason debut. Now taking a look at game number two, the expectations for Bo Nix in this game and also Dubs, do we expect Bo Nix to be that game one starter for the Denver Broncos?
Look, he did everything right in week one of the preseason. The Broncos' offense went off there 34-30 against the Colts. We highlighted the unders was the trend there for week one of the preseason. Well, it certainly wasn't between the Broncos and the Colts. I love what I saw from Bo Nix. I thought he was the standout of week one. He was sharp. He showed a lot of poise and maturity in that pocket. We know he's a tremendous athlete. And this is a 24-year-old rookie that's seen a lot of reps going through college via Auburn to Oregon. So it really doesn't look like he's getting his first touches here in the National Football League. Will he be the starter week one? A couple of question marks. It may be a similar thing that we see around the league that maybe he's held off there through the first third of the season. But I think for the Denver Broncos in their best chance of staying in a lot of these games, I think it would be Bo Nix. There is plenty of upside, and he looked mature beyond his years from what we saw there. The win total's only set at 5.5 for the Broncos, so the odds makers don't have the biggest of expectations. But you look at the back end of last year and what they did achieve there for Sean Payton, 6-1 to close out the year. I know there was a lot of speculation, a lot of drama with Russell Wilson, but I think things are looking a lot better there for the Denver Broncos, and they've got some young guys who are still trying to prove a lot. So no surprises if we do see Bo Nix, you know, with that that jostling for the starting spot between Stidham and Zach Wilson. No surprises here. The Broncos are favored in this one, and they're going to be looking at the Green Bay Packers and saying, that's what we want to look like in 1, 2, 3 years from now. But a -310 coming in for this one on Sunday afternoon. That's a big number for the Broncos to lay. They were impressive last week. They're going to have to take another forward step for this one.
Yeah, it's a great talking point you bring up, Dubs, too, because it's not as if Bo Nix, and sometimes you go back to, let's just say, Mitchell Trubisky coming out of North Carolina and going to the Chicago Bears. What's the down? What's the trap there? Well, only started about a dozen games in his career. Bo Nix is like a veteran coming into the NFL and also doing it in two big conferences as well. He shifted around quite a bit. He's used to learning new terminology and being in a new place, so maybe gives him an advantage. Let's take a look at New Orleans and San Francisco, also going to take place at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. The questions for me are not, who's going to win this game? Saints a slight favorite at -1.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total of 38.5. But the question marks for me, San Francisco, if everybody hits the field, maybe the most talented team in the NFL, Dubs. But are we worried here? We haven't heard. It's been radio silence on what's going to take place with Brandon Ayuk over the past week. Teams have offers in place. Compensation has been agreed to. He hasn't said yes or no yet. So let me ask you this question. San Francisco heading into this preseason game and the first regular season game, are we worried a little bit that Ayuk maybe won't be there? Trent Williams is holding up, maybe the best left tackle in football. I always talk about those vibes here for San Francisco. A little bit shaky right now.
Vibes are not high up there yeah, in the Bay Area. But no doubt about it, this is the best roster coming in for a new year with Brandon Ayuk, without Brandon Ayuk. I mean, the latest mail coming across there yesterday is that now he's happy to stay in San Francisco if they can figure something out. Well, you're jumping on TikTok, my guy. It doesn't tell me so much. So a couple of question marks who we're actually going to see out there for this one. But for the 49ers, again, you don't want to see the off-the-field banter and contract negotiations taking place as we head into week two of the preseason. But for the 49ers, I have no doubts that Kyle Shanahan and management will figure this thing out, and they'll be rocking and rolling for week one. And again, with Brandon Ayuk, fantastic. Without, I don't think it hurts their chances as being one of the co-favorites there to win it all alongside the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's focus here for a bit on the New Orleans Saints. And this is one of those teams last year, Dubs, coming into the preseason and into the regular season. I had high hopes for it. It felt like you just needed a quarterback, and you got him in Derek Carr. There's talent out there. There's solid running backs. There's a decent defense. They were so underwhelming to me last year. But is there a price point now that you can look at, let's just say, for the Saints, where you say, you know what? Last year they had the target on their back. They were supposed to win that division. They didn't do that. Is the time to come back in on the Saints for a good season? Or for me, sometimes it's hard to get over that bad taste in your mouth. Like, they were such a disappointment. I'm not even looking at them this year in the NFC South.
Nah, it's probably a play against for me. I mean, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs, they exceeded expectations. The Saints absolutely underwhelmed there. For Derek Carr, I mean, what you see is what you're going to get. Does he really have the pieces, the weapons there on offense? You know, Kamara's obviously dealing with some stuff. Chris Olave certainly showed plenty of upside, but he is going to be a bit more consistent. So for me, Donnie, I'd say it's probably a pass going on the Saints. They're a tough out. They're tough to play against. They bring you down to their level, but I just question that top gear, that top side, if they can run with some of the best teams in their division.
Yeah, it should be an interesting watch overall. And it's one of those times, like, where you're on them a year too early. Like, oh, now it's the Saints' chance to actually be a legitimate contender in the NFC South, because their schedule, even coming into last year, Dubs, one of the easiest schedules in the National Football League, and still they were so underwhelming last year in an underwhelming division that it sort of hurt me at that point. And I was like, you know what? Do you jump back on this year? Do you have high expectations? Is Alvin Kamara going to have a good season? Those are always the question marks. But we do have, as we said, a full NFL slate of preseason games on a Saturday, a doubleheader on Sunday. The thing is, with week number three in the preseason, or should I say game number three for most of these teams, you're not going to see a lot. So if there's one week of preseason football, guys, that you want to watch, it's going to be this weekend in week number two. Get that snapshot, maybe a dress rehearsal from your favorite football team, and see how that goes, because within 3 weeks' time, we are going to be out there watching a Thursday night game, followed by a Friday night game, an unbelievable Sunday night schedule, as well as Monday night football, and away we go into that regular season, and we'll see who wins that Super Bowl. Ooh, that's a good question. Who does win that Super Bowl? Dubs and Donnie on a Friday morning. We're going to talk about that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The age-old question, if you can bring out that crystal ball, who is going to win the Super Bowl? Well, we just told you, there's a couple really good teams at the top of that heap, which starts with the Kansas City Chiefs. But on a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network, maybe we have a fresh approach to this? Nah, maybe not. If we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and the leaderboard right now, it is the Kansas City Chiefs at a 6-1 price, the San Francisco 49ers at a 6-1 price. The only team 10-1 or less to join them, Dubs, is the Baltimore Ravens, followed by the Lions, the Eagles, the Texans, the Bengals, and the Bills. So as always, we'll start here. The co-favorites at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Chiefs and the 49ers, one AFC, one NFC, deserving in your mind, Dubs, to be the leaders right now in the clubhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. The Kansas City Chiefs looking for a third consecutive Lombardi. As long as it's Andy Reid, Spags, and Patrick Mahomes, they're going to figure out to find a way into the playoffs. And yes, they've got that X factor. They just found a way late in that season last year. So really tough in trying to bet against the Kansas City Chiefs. With a plus 600, I highlighted just before, week in, week out, every team is going to get up for the occasion. So it doesn't get any easier. I think it's going to be another tough test for the Chiefs to try and run it back in search of the hat trick. The 49ers, arguably the best roster coming in for a new year in the NFL. Whether Brandon Ayuk is going to be in the building or not, I still think the 49ers have all of that firepower. Brock Purdy, systems quarterback, say whatever you like. Kyle Shanahan has a fantastic system and structure in place there with the best running back, maybe the best player in football in CMC, Christian McCaffrey, and big Skittles there. George Kittle, one of the best tight ends there. Interested about the Baltimore Ravens, Donnie, at double digits at plus 1,000. Yeah. King Henry, Derrick Henry comes across. We know they love to run the ball, but I certainly think the Ravens and the Lions exceeded expectations last year. For them to run it back, I think it's going to be another tough test. So interested to see Lamar Jackson, if he can come up with another MVP campaign.
Yeah, the shame of it, too, is last year at the FanDuel Sportsbook before the season started, the Ravens were my pick, and I believe I'm at either an 18-1 or a 19-1 price. Love them as always, Dubs, in the regular season, but something just doesn't click. And even in the playoffs, where you have the home field advantage against Kansas City, and you knew your bread and butter is on the ground, they decide to throw it all over the lot. It doesn't work out. They go up in flames. Kansas City moves on and eventually wins a Super Bowl. So for my money, I always love the Ravens in the regular season, but the postseason, they certainly have to prove it to me. Now, talking about the San Francisco 49ers, this does play into it a lot, certainly across the sports landscape. It takes so much energy to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. The 49ers went to the Super Bowl. I thought they should have won the Super Bowl, didn't play their best game. Kansas City wins. Is there any of a malaise that you worry about for the San Francisco 49ers, knowing they lost the Super Bowl last year and getting back to it usually is a Herculean effort?
It's a massive effort, but I do believe that, especially for a young team such as the 49ers, you've got to lose one before you can learn how to win one. So I think they run it back, and they'll still have plenty of confidence in the building. They'll be buoyed by their feats and efforts that we saw last year. But a couple of question marks coming out of the NFC. You know, your Eagles, Donnie, I know we've got a new OC, new DC, a fantastic price for them. I consider them to have an absolutely loaded offense. If Jalen Hurts and Sirianni can just see eye to eye and get this thing going in the right direction, don't sleep on the Eagles at a monster price there. I'm obviously out here in the West Coast. I like Sean McVay and the Rams for what we saw there last year. A couple of injury concerns coming back in for this one. But in terms of playing the futures, the Super Bowl odds, the Chiefs at 6-1, the 49ers, those numbers are a little too short for me. On the betting side of things, I'd be looking towards the likes of the Eagles there and even the Dallas Cowboys. Eventually, if Dak can get happy, get paid, they're going to figure things out. They certainly have the weapons. But again, it just comes down to what we're going to see in that postseason. Can they figure it out? Can they make a bit of a run? And can they stay healthy? But the Cowboys at 18-1 and your Eagles at plus 1,300, a couple of price plays up there early for the Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, we would assume that CeeDee Lamb is going to be paid and paid handsomely before week number one in the NFL. I don't know what's taking so long there. Same thing with Dak Prescott. Let's see what happens. You can usually pencil in the Dallas Cowboys for at least 10 regular season wins, and they'll challenge the Philadelphia Eagles. Quickly on this one, the Houston Texans at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now is a 15-1 price. Is it too much too soon? Are we too high on the Texans right now, Dubsy?
I think we are, Donnie. I'm not buying in. I'm probably more bullish on the Jags coming out of the division there for the AFC South. I think CJ Stroud absolutely exceeded all expectations there, the rookie quarterback last year. I think there's a very good chance in the sophomore season that we see a bit of a backward step. We saw last week, Stephon Diggs, he's already on the sideline blowing up. He's saying, give me the ball. I want that ball. If there's a little bit of drama ensuing, I know they've got the weapons, but I think for the Texans to go and do what they did last year, it's going to be a big push uphill.
Texans are cooking with grease. You know who else is cooking with grease? Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball. New changes on the horizon. Hour number three next. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,